This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
This is Chris Fetters of Dogman.com, and I'm here with Scott Eklund, our recruiting editor. And, man, it's Friday morning early. We're trying to get some stuff here going because, man, it's just been this last weekend and this weekend are just some crazy weekends right now for Washington recruiting. So we wanted to get in touch, put something together for you guys to not only – talk about the guys that came through the door this past weekend, Junior Day, and some 7-on-7 stuffs and all this other stuff going on, but then also the big weekend that's happening starting right now pretty much and going through the weekend as well. So, man, Scott, it's kind of crazy because not only do you have those events going on, but you also have walk-ons that are committing for 2023. They're kind of – this is how you've kind of finished out classes – is with some of these walk-on guys. Yeah. And then we'll take a quick break after that, and then we'll start talking about this weekend, some of the guys that people should really follow. And then you've got some updates on some of the portal guys, Dylan Johnson. We could talk a little bit about the quarterback situation. Like, everyone wants to know what's going on with Jalen Rashada. Or is it Jaden or Jalen? I can't remember.
It is Jaden Rashada.
Jaden, that's right. And yep. So we will talk a little bit about that at the end. Teasing that a little bit, I understand, but we're going to go backwards a week real quick here and talk about some of these guys that visited this last weekend, but really wanted to start with the guys that are going to be Huskies for sure starting this fall, if not earlier. I can't remember if any of those these guys plan on enrolling for spring, but talk to us a little bit about Royce Cleland, legacy recruit, mm-hmm. obviously his dad, Cam Cleland, does the play-by-play on the radio with Tony Castricone. And then also Ryder Bumgarner from Stanwood, kind of an all-purpose Swiss Army guy who's been an all-league guy a couple times, 2 years in a row, I think, on both sides of the ball. So Washington's getting some quality guys from the Northwest to stay at home instead of take offers to maybe some smaller schools.
Yeah, well, let's start off with Royce. Plays at Jesuit Center. He's about six. I think he said he measured in just under 6'4". I think he was like 6'3½". And 300 pounds, and he's going to enroll at Washington and be an interior guy, most likely a center, at least to start off. But they told him he could play any of the three spots. Had offers from some from Yale, I think. I think it was Yale, and I don't have it in front of me, but Yale and a couple smaller schools, USD, University of San Diego, and I think there was one other one. And he was getting really heavy interest from most of the rest of the Ivy League, Brown, Harvard, Princeton, Columbia, all those schools were looking at him. And for those people who don't know, with the Ivy League schools and a school like USD, they don't offer athletic scholarships. What they do offer is need-based financial aid when you get accepted there as a regular student. So that just tells you how smart the guy is, and that some of these schools were looking to bring him in, even though they weren't offering him scholarships at that point in time.
Okay, so essentially, and then we also just wanted to make sure that people understand, you know, when these guys come in and they say they're verbally committed to a school, they're still eligible to be recruited.
Yeah, Mm-hmm.
So yeah. they're not. It's not done and dusted. Even guys with scholarships who get recruited and commit, obviously, there's nothing done and dusted until they sign a national letter of intent. But in the case of walk-on guys, it's absolutely 100% true, because they, you know, bottom line is they're not going to sign anything. They're not going to sign a scholarship letter. They're not going to do any of that stuff. So it's one of those things where even if you hear that a walk-on player is verbally committed to a school, they still have all sorts of options in front of them. The other thing I just wanted to add too is that I think that 6 walk-ons total that have verbally committed for 2023, joining all the other scholarship guys and portal guys and whoever that have already signed letters of intent or are already enrolled on campus in the case of a few of them. So you've got Royce Cleland, you've got Ryder Bumgardner.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got the receiver Keenan Kuntz.
Yep. From Mead.
Mead. And then you've got the place kicker, Troy Petz from Linden, who's mm-hmm. could be very important because he could end up being the guy who does the kickoffs if in fact Grady Gross becomes the guy that replaces Peyton Henry, which yep. it seems like, at least on paper, that's what we would.
They were definitely grooming him that way.
Yes, exactly, because he did obviously the kickoffs this year. And then you've got offensive lineman from North Thurston out of Olympia, Aiden Anderson, and then also an Idaho receiver from Rocky Mountain High School in Meridian named mm-hmm. Luke Bikini. And so, you know, they're just slowly but surely kind of building
yeah.
this thing back up, because you lose some of these important guys. I know they've always had some of those receiver DB guys that have worked out in the past that have helped them scout, and now they're bringing in their next crew. Are there any of those other guys do you think Washington fans should really look out for, other than maybe Petz, because he kind of fills an immediate need?
Yeah. I mean, he's the one that's probably going to see the most playing time right away.
The other thing too, they understand is that he's a full on specialist, so he can punt and kick,
mm-hmm.
and you know that. And Washington's only going to have Jack McAllister back because Kevin Ryan graduates,
mm-hmm.
so you know we could see him. We could see him maybe option as a punter or as a kickoff.
Yeah, he's looking at being a punter. Yeah. You know, they're bringing him in as a punter, and I think they're grooming him that way. I think they liked what they saw from Jack McAllister, but I'm not sold that he's the guy yet. I think they definitely want to bring someone to challenge him and, you know, to push Grady Gross as well. I wouldn't be surprised if you see another place kicker brought in as well. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, as far as, you know, productive guys, I mean, Ryder Bumgardner is just his stats just jump off the page.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what he rushed for almost 3,000 yards last year.
Well, I was going to say, so Stanwood had a quarterfinal game in the state 3A. tournament just a couple months ago.
Yep.
He had 3 touchdown runs, and then he also was their leading passer, and which I don't think really, it's kind of damning faint praise because I think he had less than 40 yards passing, because obviously it sounds like they're primarily a running team. They do yep. they run the wing tee, and it's funny because he's 195 pounds, so he's still a pretty well built guy for being 5'9", 5'10", but he's basically their fullback. And so he's used to just getting that run up the gut and then trying to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he had 3 touchdowns rushing through with basically their leading passer. And he also caught a pass for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, it's like what Penix tried to do in the Apple Cup, you know, go for that trifecta, except for clearly the 3 touchdowns running. I don't know if he had those, but I thought that was really, really interesting because you don't see that very, very often. You know, guys running the ball like that and then even throwing and catching passes like that too. So, and then also he's again an all league. I think he was an all league DB, and then now he's an all league linebacker because he's gotten a little bit bigger, faster, stronger. So yeah, very intrigued to see what he does as well. I was very curious too, Scott, just about the idea of, you know, cause we're going to start now talking a little bit about what all the weekend visitors from this last weekend, because this last weekend and this weekend have been the big weekends, huge weekends for Washington to kind of show off what they're doing. And yeah. It looks like the rain is starting to lessen a little bit. So I think the sun's going to come out a little bit more, a little bit later today, and it should be a nice weekend, hopefully. But you know, I'm kind of curious how much these 7-on-7 tournaments and some of these passing leagues and things like this have really impacted Washington's ability to attract guys from outside, not just the Northwest, but outside their national recruiting footprint, outside of California, outside of maybe even just the West Coast in general, because we're seeing a ton of guys coming in from a lot of different parts of the country.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a big thing is so last weekend, one of the big reasons why we saw so many guys from all over the country come in is because there was a pile on 7-on-7. And I don't think it's a thing with pylon, but I think they do it in conjunction. There's a 5-on-5 tournament, and that's for linemen on both sides, that where they do grading and you know, give points for different things and have teams win stuff and all that.
Yeah, so just to let people know, this is kind of a newish development, at least as far as, you know, 7-on-7 was always the thing going into these passing leagues. It was always basically just skill guys on both sides of the ball. So you'd have your receivers against your DBs, you'd have your running backs against linebackers, you'd have those one-on-one matchups in space and in air. But now you're adding this 5-on-5 component, which allows schools like Washington, who may not necessarily be able to attract a bunch of guys coming in from other parts of the country, but now you're bringing in their linemen, which before, if you guys were doing passing leagues, if they were doing some of these other big events, Taylor Barton's done a ton of them in the past.
He's doing one this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Like, mm-hmm. But Air has done a bunch. Tracy Ford's done a bunch in the past. These guys were all doing just 7-on-7 events. Now you're seeing the linemen getting involved and getting their share, and that really adds to the mix, I think, because that adds a whole new element. Now all of a sudden, instead of just expecting to see some of these skill guys show up on your campus in conjunction mm-hmm. with a tournament that they're running maybe a day before, day after, whatever, now all of a sudden you're getting all those big guys as well. I think that's huge.
Oh, it absolutely was. I mean, there was a few of them that were that brought guys, and the main one was California Power, and I don't know who leads that, but whoever, I think he is a guy who is a former Husky, Ryan Porter. He was a quarterback, right?
Yes, former quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if he leads it, but I know that he was with California Power, and that's why guys like Eddie Pierre-Louis, offensive defensive lineman from Florida, came up. That's why Ben Howard came up from Mater Dei down in California. Marcus Easley was here last weekend. He's another big-time guy. I talked to him the other night. Peter Lange came up. He's a 2025 guy that Washington's really after. Brandon Baker, another big one. But David Stone was kind of the biggest name of the group. He's a top 10 player in the entire country. Florida defensive lineman from IMG. He's actually from Oklahoma originally, but he plays at IMG. And he came up, and he's a consensus 5-star from all the services. I think he's ranked 9th overall in the 247 composite, but I think he's 6th overall in the 247 database. And yeah, big time guy. And the visit so impressed him that he's planning to make another unofficial visit up on his own dime, not having being paid for by his 5-on-5 team. And then he's looking at also coming up and taking an official visit. He said he liked it so much. So, you know, I mean, you can't win recruiting battles unless you get these guys on campus. So, you know, even if it might be a little remote for Washington to get a top 10 guy for all the way from Florida who had never really been west of the Mississippi very much, you know, I mean, other than Oklahoma, you know, for Washington to get him up on campus, it's huge. And it's spreading their footprint, spreading their brand. And Chris, like you said, you know, getting the linemen, because Washington was always able to get the skill guys in because of the 7-on-7 tournaments up here. But now these 5-on-5 tournaments that are starting to spring up and pop up all over the place, it's going to help Washington a lot if they can get some of those kids and convince some of those kids. And a lot of that goes back to the relationship that Courtney Morgan has with different 7-on-7, 5-on-5 trainers, all that kind of stuff. all over the country. He doesn't just have them here on the West Coast, doesn't even have them just in Texas. They're all over the place. And that is where Washington's really making some headway.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And obviously you've listed a few of the top guys that were here this last weekend. I wanted to focus on, to begin with, we'll come back to that list a little bit for you can focus on some other guys that you really, really liked. I'm really curious about the idea of Washington going and getting unofficial visits from kids who are already committed to other schools.
Yeah.
And clearly the lines have been so blurred and so kind of disjointed now with NIL and with all the other things going on, and clearly making very, very early commitments now. It's worth the paper they use to sign it on, which is they don't use any paper to sign anything like that.
Well,
now
Washington knows that clearly more than anybody else right now after what happened last year.
Yeah. And so, but I was very curious about your thoughts on CJ Carr, quarterback who's committed to Notre Dame, and running back Kobe Boykin, who you spoke with, who's committed to Utah. And they were able to get both those guys to come up. Now, was it just a coincidence based on their 7-on-7 teams, or do you think that these guys are legitimately interested in what Washington has to offer?
Yeah, I'd say Carr's situation was simply because his 7-on-7 team was here, and he was like, I'll go check out Washington. I have not been able to speak with him. He's kind of gone radio silent. I think my guess is he doesn't want to say too much about Washington, since Notre Dame is where he wants to go. He's from Michigan, so you know, it's how far is Michigan from Notre Dame? I don't know, like 2-hour flight, maybe hour flight, maybe.
Well, it depends, because it's right literally there. Yeah. You can be 15 minutes away,
yeah,
living in Michigan from South Bend, or a half hour away. So yeah, I think it all depends on what part of Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan is. Yeah, I don't know exactly where he lives, but you know, he's not far, and they made him a priority and got him to commit. And I talked to somebody close to his recruitment, and they laughed when I wanted the phone number. And I just said, hey, we just want to see what he has to say. He might not flip. And this person was like, yeah, he's not flipping, but go for it. Here you go. And I just haven't been able to speak to him. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But the other, as far as Boykin, Washington hasn't offered him yet, but he's been talking with Coach Marks for a long time. The two of those two guys have formed a really strong relationship, and Washington hasn't offered yet. If they offer, I could see him at least listening to what they have to say. But right now he just said, you know, they haven't offered me. I really enjoyed my visit, my first time up there really. I took a trip there and I liked it. I had a good time. I continue to build on my relationship with Coach Marks, but I'm committed to Utah right now, and if things change, then things change. But right now, that's where I'm planning to go. So
okay,
that's kind of you know, getting guys on campus this early in the process is just more of a foot in the door, an icebreaker kind of a situation. It's when you get down to the nitty gritty in the summer, and then during the season is really when things, you know, crap gets real. Kind of stuff. And when these guys get closer to making decisions and closer to making, you know, when they want to end things and when they don't want to focus on that anymore, they just want to focus on their senior season. And a lot of these kids will tell us that. That's why they commit in the summer. And then all of a sudden they're opening things up again. And you're just like, okay, so that was just a line, you know? So I'd say right now, not to read too much into it, other than that they were with their 7-on-7 teams and had the opportunity to come up to the University of Washington. But if things get a little bit more serious, you know, in the summer, we'll be all over that, and we'll let you guys know, hey, this is something that you guys definitely need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and that's kind of the nuts thing that you kind of spelled it out a little bit there, Scott. But, you know, back in the day, this would be like the opening salvo. You know, this would be like, oh, they got these guys in for unofficial visits. This is going to set something up. You talked about David Stone, for instance, the top recruit from IMG, who's going to be a top 10 guy. Now, I don't know, you know, if he'll stay there over the course of the ratings and rankings evaluations during the entire, recruiting cycle. But that's a guy there that normally you wouldn't necessarily get in the door if you're Washington. But nowadays, these guys are trying to get as much done as they can now, because it's only going to be a few months later where they can start taking official visits.
Yep.
That's unheard of back in the day. I mean, when I say back in the day, we're only talking 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Even 5 years ago, we'd be going, well, guys are going to either commit to a school by taking unofficial visits during camps and stuff in the summer, or they're going to wait until their senior seasons are over and then take their official visits like the first couple weekends in December before the mid-year sign. This is, you know, we're even talking maybe even before the mid-year signing period, but even during the initial years of the mid-year signing period, those first two weekends in December were so huge. Now we're talking about the first two weekends in maybe May or June.
Yeah.
Make or break official visit weekends for these guys. So even though it feels like the mid-year signing period for 2023 just happened, and it literally did like a month ago, or I guess 5 weeks ago, now we're already saying, well, if those guys don't necessarily make it on campus now, then teams like Washington haven't necessarily been able to get the groundwork done that they need to in order to attract the kind of guys that they want to attract. But clearly with the list of guys that you put together in your recruiting blog, I believe on the 23rd it was, there was a lot of interest. And again, yes, we're seeing a lot of crossover with the guys that are here for their 7-on-7 teams, but we're also seeing a lot of guys that are kind of like, you know what, I need to get up there. And they'll do their little mini world tours, as I would call them.
Yep.
They'll go to Washington. They'll go to Oregon. They'll hit the Northwest schools while they're here. And then maybe if they're not from the area, if they're not from the region, maybe then they'll have another weekend where if there's a 7-on-7 tournament in Northern California, they'll go to Cal, Stanford, whatever. Mm. Or if it's in the L.A. area, they hit USC, they hit UCLA, maybe they go down to San Diego State, whatever.
Yep.
All these things are happening now, whereas before we would be talking about these types of things in the summer.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, basically all it did, all the early signing period did, was move things back about 3 or 4 months. Or move up, I guess, move them up about 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
You know, but everything
gets sped up on that front end.
Yeah.
Because now you're seeing, because you had a huge list of guys. I mean, I don't know what the general number is, but we're talking about probably upwards of 30 to 40 guys.
Yeah. And there were more than that. Those are the guys, the notable guys.
Right. But there's literally maybe a full third of those guys are 2025 guys, for instance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about what guys like Courtney Morgan are trying to get accomplished with recruiting and getting in the door and knowing the 7-on-7 guys that they know and all that kind of stuff, they're laying the groundwork not just to really put the push ahead for the 2024 guys, but now they're really putting the seed in the minds of the 2025 guys. And there was even some 2026 guys that you mentioned.
Yep.
You mentioned for instance, the
Sean
modern
Scott.
Modern day guys that came in. Sean Scott is going to be a hotly recruited guy for 2026 already. Because of his measurables. I don't remember exactly what he is, but he's what, 6'3", 6'4", 230.
Yeah, all right. He's 6'3" and 215, 220, something like that.
As a ninth grader. I mean, it's like, okay. So you know, you were already seeing all these things being all the progress being laid. I know we're gonna talk about Austin Mack specifically in the second half because of Washington's quarterback recruiting in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you spoke to him. I know you spoke to a couple receivers, Philip Bell for 2025, Dylan Gresham. Any other guys that you really got a chance to talk to, and any other guys that you think Washington fans should really focus in on as guys that were targets that were here at Montlake and on campus this last weekend?
Yeah, well, I did talk to the top offensive lineman in Hawaii. Actually, he's a top player in Hawaii for the 2024 class, at least right now he is. That's Preston Taumua from IAEA. And this is actually his second time that he'd been in Washington. The first time was last September. I think it was the first night of high school football up here. It was a Thursday night game, and it was the Thursday before Labor Day weekend, and they came up and played Woodinville. And okay. So this is his first time up here since then. And that time he did not stick around for Washington's game with Kent State. They flew back the next day. Iaea did. But he said he loved how green everything was. And he said it kind of reminded him of home. He says, obviously, it's not as hot or stuff. But he goes, it's still really green. And you can go into areas and see all the forest and all that different stuff. And that was something that he really liked. Came up here last weekend for his 5-on-5 tournament. He's also on that power, California power team. And he showed up in shorts and a t-shirt and got a little rude awakening to the cold of Washington. He said, yeah, that was a little colder than I was expecting. And I got made fun of by my coaches because they're like, you're in Washington. What are you doing? kind of thing. So, but he had a really good time. It's actually the first time you ever get a chance to talk to Coach Huff because the person that's been recruiting him has been in OK Brechterfield. But they want him as an offensive lineman, not a defensive guy. And, you know, Brechterfield just handles the island. So that's why he's been mainly talking with him. But he really hit it off with Scott Huff. And he said he's looking at scheduling another visit up to the University of Washington, whether that's an unofficial or official. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, he's got a lot of schools after him, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon. Oregon's probably his top school right now. But Arizona's after him really hard too. So this is a guy who, he's versatile. He's 6'4", so he's kind of that tweener. He could play tackle if needed. But he's probably more of an inside guy at the University of Washington. And there are some schools recruiting him for tackle or and some for inside at guard. But, Washington is definitely an inside guy and he liked him and said, you know, he wants to see Tennessee, Arizona, Washington, Alabama, Ohio State. He starts listening. He goes, yeah, I think I need to narrow some of those down. And I was like, yeah, probably. But yeah, you know, really nice kid. You can tell he's just kind of, I don't want to say oblivious because that makes him sound like he's an idiot, but he's not an idiot at all by any stretch. I think he's naive, just doesn't know how this all works and it's all coming at him really, really fast. So, just something to keep an eye on, and we'll be in touch with him. Really, really well spoken. He actually reminds me a little of Kuope Hapa, in that we have. I might have, if he ends up at the University of Washington, we might have to edit out some things. there was some blue verbiage coming out of his mouth a couple times. It was pretty funny, but really nice kid, and had a fun time talking to him last night. As far as other guys, obviously, I talked to David Stone. I've been trying to reach some other guys. Greg Biggins actually was able to reach out and talk with Jason Mitchell. He's a defensive back. I think Washington is looking at him as a corner, but I like him more as a safety. Just 6'3", 185. He's got that frame that he could easily add another 20 pounds, be 205, 6'3", 205, free safety for you. Unbelievable range, great athlete. He really enjoyed his time. And then they also talked to, I think Greg also talked to Aaron Butler. Is that his name? Aaron Butler, the one who decommitted from USC. Yeah. He's the first kid to set up an official visit to Washington. And he set that up yesterday. And it sounds like it's for June 23rd. That sounds like the big push for Washington, because that might be the last, I think that's the last weekend that they can have players on campus before the July and August dead period starts. So definitely keep an eye on that. I think that's the weekend. This last year it was the 28th, I think, was when they got everybody in.
Yep.
And had that big recruiting weekend, and they ended up getting, what was it? Was it 10 straight days of commits?
Good question. I'd have to go back.
It was ridiculous, though. Was a ridiculous amount. And the guy who started it actually is Diesel Gordon. I made a mention of that yesterday, that he's actually the one who got it started. And he'd already taken a visit up to Washington. He hadn't taken his official, but he took a visit up to Washington and committed the day before Anthony James. And then Anthony James is the one that started that domino effect. So,
yeah, well, clearly, Scott, just as a quick aside before you talk about some of these other guys from last weekend, it is very interesting to kind of see the dynamic and how this staff wants to recruit guys, you know, and where they think they can really make hay, because there's a lot of schools out there that would push hard for verbal commits now and then maybe really try to lock it completely down during an official visit, whether that happens in May, June, or even in December. depending on whatever that player's specific situation is. It really feels like Courtney Morgan and this staff are really trying to get their foot in the door now with these two big, what I would call junior days, but maybe they call them experiences or call them something, whatever.
Yeah, they're calling it the Husky experience.
Yeah. To me, it's a junior day. It's always been a junior day, but that's just me. I'm old. But it feels like this is where they really lay the groundwork, and then they try to really narrow down based on their experiences, not just with these days, but also during the evaluations process in April when they're able to go back out on the road and follow up with these kids and really get a sense of, okay, who's in, who's still really thinking about us, who have we really liked, and who did we get to know and really like. And then that's where they really tailor these official visits before the full-on summer. Because like you said, they had many, many days in a row where they got commit after commit after commit, and it wasn't just by happenstance. They had clearly thought out, okay, which group do we want to get on campus this weekend? Which group of guys do we feel like we want to get together because we want them to bond? We want them to get to know each other because we want them to see themselves as future teammates all together at the University of Washington. Now, a lot of people would call that peer pressure or whatever, but the idea of getting these guys started already as Huskies, even as early as the summer before they ever sign anything, is something that to me looks like this particular staff wants to use as a very powerful tool in their recruiting toolbox. I'm not sure how you see that, but that's how I saw it work out last year. And it feels like they're doing that again. Like I said, a lot of people will wonder, a lot of Washington fans, why aren't these guys pushing for commits now? They get them all on campus. They can really make a huge impression. These guys are obviously very impressionable. You talked about Preston Talmua, for instance, and how, you know, he's probably seeing things with eyes for the first time and is really wowed by these experiences. You know, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Well, as they understand, and as you even pointed out earlier, these things can be very fleeting. When Washington wants to get a verbal commit from a player, they want it to be locked down as best as they can get it locked down and as best as you can in this environment, which isn't great, but you want to feel it's as secure and is as solid as they can possibly make it. And that's how I'm seeing things work out.
Yeah. And I think what people need to understand is where Washington is geographically, a lot of schools use that against them that are recruiting against them. So if Washington wants to go out and get a 3 or 4 star or 5 star guy from a different region outside the footprint, the schools that they're battling against are going to be much closer to those kids. And they're going to say, hey, you know, if your parents want to fly up there and see a game, they're only going to be able to, you know, fly one time per day, you know, directly into Seattle. And I think that that's something that Washington has to fight against and everything like that. So, you know, a lot of it is right now laying the groundwork for what happens later in the process. Some of that's going to happen in the summer. Some of it's going to happen during the season. Some of it's going to happen probably closer to December. And then maybe even into January, depending on if kids wait or not. But I think so last year, what I don't remember the exact number. I think it was 16. The Washington had 16 guys when they kicked off against Kent State. They had 16 guys committed to the 2023 recruiting class. One of those guys departed that I can remember, and that was Lincoln Keenholz, but he didn't do that until very late in the process.
Right.
That I remember, everybody else wound up with the Huskies that I can remember. I might be wrong on that, but that I can remember. But this year, I don't think Washington's going to push to have basically the class done by the end of the summer. I think they'd like to have about half their class in. They're going to take about 20 guys, maybe up to 22. So I could see 9 to 11 guys somewhere in that range, being committed, but I don't think they're going to push as hard on guys that they know that they can get better guys for, but they're still going to keep some of those guys on the hook that they like, but maybe don't like as much as some other guys, and wait kind of see what those other guys decide. And then, and it's a real tough game of chicken that the coaches are playing. We've talked about it many times on the podcast before. The coaches have to play this game of chicken sometimes, where they could have a guy committed to them, but they push them off, hoping to get another guy in that's a little bit better and they like a little bit more. And then that guy doesn't commit. Well, in the meantime, the guy that you liked a lot and was ready to commit, but you weren't ready to take the commit, has gone out and found a new suitor. And now you're either battling for him still, or that guy has gone off and committed and said, screw you guys, I'm going with the school that wants me. And so it's a real tough game of chicken that the coaches have to figure out. They have to have a real good read on these kids. That's why they form these strong relationships with their parents as well. Possibly their girlfriends or even some of their best friends, their coaches, their trainers, you know, quote unquote handlers, whatever. The coaches have to do all these different things in order to be able to make the read. Hey, this is a kid I think we can hold off on a little bit. I think he'll commit to us no matter who comes in on him because he likes us so much. But, you know, we like player B a little bit more. So let's kind of wait and see. So I think you're going to see a little bit more of that. I don't think you're going to see as the kind of weekend that we saw at the end of June, where we saw that, you know, week and a half process of 10 straight days of commitments. I mean, it was insane. Chris, you remember? It was like, oh, yeah. My God, another woof.
Yeah. And the nice thing about it is, to be honest, as a reporter who's looking for these things to happen and needs to be on top of these things, as you do, as I do, as anybody else does that covers these things, it's almost great the way that they set these things up, because you know they're gonna fall. You know that the guys are really close to making that decision. It's simply a matter of the timing and the way they set it up. Again, whether you call it peer pressure, whether you call it bonding, whatever you want to call it, that dynamic that exists when they bring all those guys together for an official visit and they roll out the red carpet and they show these guys the greatest time that they've ever had for 48 hours on a campus, you know it's going to happen. It's simply a matter of, okay, are they going to make the commitment on campus because maybe their families are there? Are they going to wait until they go home to talk to their families before making the decision? Do they want to have the allure of the visit wear off so that they, you know, they maybe wake up a week later, still have the same feelings and go, okay, if I still feel the same way, I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to commit because I know it's legitimate. I know this is how I feel about this school. They go through all that kind of process. So it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, right? It's always just a matter at that point of when. And that's just, again, we all look for the woof. We all look on Twitter. We all figure out what DeBoer's doing. And as soon as that hits, then everybody goes scrambling to try to figure out who it is. And hopefully, if we've done our homework and we've done this thing right, we've already figured it out. But sometimes, you know, even the best laid plans get blown up. And as you very well know, Scott, that can happen quite a bit. Before we hit a break real quick, any other guys from this last weekend that you want to focus on that Washington fans should know about?
You know, I think some of them are the wide receivers, you know, those skill guys that came in. I hate calling them skill guys because I know that offensive linemen and defensive linemen are very skilled too. But, you know, those skill position players, you know, Kwasi Gilmer is a guy that the Huskies like a lot. Derek McFaul, the running back from four-star running back from Texas. I'm still trying to get a hold of him, still working on getting a hold of him. Jeremiah McClellan was on campus last weekend. He's a big time guy. Philip Bell, that guy is absolutely ridiculous. He's a 2025 kid, so they've still got a year and a half on him. But my God, the numbers he put up, and on a really good team too. So, you know, it's, you know, Dylan Gresham, you know, that's a guy who normally we'd be all over, and I know Washington would take him in a heartbeat, but now I don't know if they'd take him right away because they're in on so many other big time guys. He's from San Jacinto, the same school that Devon Banks and Vincent Holmes are from. So those are guys. Eddie Pierre Lewis is a guy I know the coaches like a lot. He's another guy. So
also remember real quick, another 2025 guy that came into town, Jet White.
Yep.
If I remember, he was originally committed to USC, mm-hmm. and has opened things up. Is that correct?
I thought that was Aaron Butler, but it might have been Jet White.
I think they may have both been.
Yeah, well, Jet White, and now on Twitter, he calls Courtney Morgan, Jet White calls Courtney Morgan his uncle. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if that's actually his actual family uncle or if it's just kind of, you know, this is my uncle, man. This is a guy who's been my uncle basically since I was born. He's just been around. Because I'm an uncle, not to get too deep in my personal life, but I have a friend, two friends who have three kids, and they all call me Uncle Scott, and I'm not their uncle. And sure. And so, you know, but I mean, I've been around them their whole lives, and they've always been that kind of a relationship with me. So we don't know if that's actually Courtney Morgan's nephew or not. But that being said, very strong relationship with Courtney Morgan. And I think Washington has a decent shot of getting him. I don't remember if he was a flip or not, but I thought Aaron Butler was that guy. But yeah,
I think definitely. Aaron Butler was too. But I was just looking up his timeline. Jet White did decommit from USC on January 3rd of this month.
Yeah. So. Okay. So yeah, I mean it's just, but the thing about USC is, I mean, they've just, it's almost like throwing a rock and hitting the next best guy. With the offense that Lincoln Riley throws out there and with his reputation, they're going to be able to go out and get guys who are really good. Washington has to work a little bit more. Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer obviously have a really good offense in place as well, but they just don't have the established name recognition like Lincoln Riley does. And so it's not quite the same as the USC. But yeah, I mean, if kids are decommitting from USC and wanting to come to the University of Washington, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I was going to say Chris Polk rings a bell. That's one guy that I remember full on. I'm
sure there have been others. Jaden Mickens, Mickens.
There's been others. So yeah, never a problem. That is never a problem for the Washington Huskies if they
More thing, and we might want to talk about this guy a little in a few minutes if you were going to talk about quarterback recruiting, but Austin Mack, the quarterback from Folsom, was also on campus over the weekend, and I did talk to him as well.
So. Yeah, we will definitely bring up Austin Mack's name when we talk a little bit more about the, you know, how is Washington going to fill their spot now that Sam Huard is in the portal. There might even be some breaking news on where Sam goes. So we'll see what happens with that. But pay attention, guys. There's a lot of stuff. Who knows? Breaking news sometimes happens when we're on the pod, when we're recording. So we'll see what happens with that. But we'll take a couple. We'll take a little break from our and hear from our sponsors. Again, Chris Fetters here with Scott Eklund. You're listening to the guys from Dogman.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're back. This is Chris Fetters of Dogman.com here with our recruiting editor, Scott Eklund, who has been knee deep in working on these junior days, not just for last weekend, which we just broke down, but also this weekend. Literally, as we speak, guys are coming in from all over the country, coming in. I don't know if it's primarily for the junior day. It could be primarily for an event. I know Taylor Barton's putting together a 7-on-7, 5-on-5, these types of things going on. Help break down what's going on this weekend, Scott, and tell us a little bit about how Washington's taking advantage of some of the events that are happening locally to tie in with their own Husky experience events.
Yeah, so Taylor Barton, former Husky quarterback, has been a quarterback guy, developer of quarterbacks in the region for a long time. I mean, his dad started things and then Taylor kind of took it over and has taken it to new heights. He's run several 7-on-7 leagues. He's done a lot of different things. Well, this one is a big 7-on-7 tournament. I can't remember what they're calling it. I want to say it, the Battle for the Space Needle or something. I can't remember exactly what they're calling it, but it's a big event that he's got going on. And there's going to be, I want to say, roughly 20 to 40 teams. Some of them are junior high teams, so those aren't, you know, those teams are playing like earlier in the day and everything like that. But FSP is supposedly supposed to be there. Air is supposed to be there. That's the Reggie Jones and Tracy Ford teams. And they're supposed to all be up there and taking part in that. Brandon Huffman put up a list of guys that are expected on campus. I expect even more than what he listed. He listed the top guys. I think there's going to be some other guys who will be stopping by. I think there's some 2026 guys on some of these teams who will be stopping by. But Washington has a lot of the top guys from the 2024 class locally. EJ Kaminong, who's already committed to Washington, the quarterback out of Garfield, will be on campus. Braden Platt, probably the top guy in-state on Washington's board. Linebacker from Yelm just led them to a state title. Helped lead them to a state title last year. Rayshon Clark from Federal Way, Kyan McDonald, the corner slash safety from O'Day, is going to be on campus. There's a couple other ones without offers from Washington. Jeremiah Wright from Linden Christian, and then Peyton Stewart from Kelso is also going to be on campus. And then the other in-state guys that'll be on campus that are 2025 guys are T'Andre Waverly from Kamiak.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end. We saw him at a bunch of practices last year. Yep. And then Peyton Cunningham out of North Creek, the newest Bothell High School. He's an athlete out of there. And then Graham Kapowski, tight end. Noah Flores is also there. And, you know, they're going to have some big out-of-state guys. Dylan Williams, linebacker out of Long Beach Poly. Taran Williams out of Muir High School in Anaheim. Peyton Waters out of an athlete out of Van Nuys High School in Birmingham. Corey Hall, that's a guy to keep it. We have him listed in the database. He's out of Reseda Cleveland High School, but he's listed as a receiver. Washington likes him as a safety, so keep that in mind when we're talking about him. Oaks Christian wide receiver Justice Williams, that's another big time guy. Sarah. Wide receiver Zacharias Williams. He's another big guy. Decker DeGraff, who was a tight end. He was up here last weekend. He wasn't at the University of Washington, but he was at the pylon event with his 7-on-7 tournament. Then he's making a return trip with his family for this weekend. So that's big. Pocky Finau, one of the top offensive linemen that Washington's in really good shape with. Dakota Fields, another cornerback. Manasseh Etiti, I think is how you say his last name. He's out of Modesto Christian. And then Kyron Condal, out of a cornerback out of Rancho Cucamonga. So those are just, that's just a little bit. Then they got Elijah Rushing. That's another big time guy that Washington's in on. Five-star edge guy out of South Point Catholic down in Arizona. That's the same high school that Mateo Mele went to. And Bijan Robinson also went there. He didn't go to UW, but that's a name that a lot of people know as well. So, so they've got a bunch of guys from out of region, out of state, coming up for this. So, I'll be up at that event. It's going to be happening right in the middle of when the Arizona basketball game is. So,
Which is a little disappointing because I would think, if you're Courtney Morgan, you want this Husky experience to kind of roll at the same time. So to bring guys into the game Alaska Airlines Arena should be pretty full,
rocking,
not completely sold out. I know tickets are going fast, and there's going to be a lot of Arizona fans there as well.
Yeah.
But that place should be rocking. I mean, I was at the Arizona State Washington game last night, and the fans were into it. I mean, it took a little while because of traffic and everything else for the thing to fill up. But once Heck Ed kind of got rocking a little bit and Washington started playing well, that place really got loud. And I know Mike Hopkins talks about it as being one of the most unique and best atmospheres when the place is packed in a top 10 environment. And it should be then. Yeah. And that's where, if you're Courtney Morgan, you'd love for them to be able to see just a glimpse of that, even if just for 10, 15, 20 minutes, because it can make a big impression.
Oh, absolutely can. And the local guys have all kind of seen that kind of stuff, but they're going to be up at the tournament. But Elijah Rushing is not coming up with a 7-on-7 team. So he's going to be there. He'll be able to be at the game.
Yeah. Decker, I mean, it's not to say that some of them won't be there.
It's just, they won't have the huge group there. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about, Scott, though, because this the first thing when I saw the list of guys that were going to be on campus and around for this coming weekend, yes, they've got the 7-on-7, 5-on-5 stuff going on. Taylor Borden obviously puts together phenomenal camps and has done so for a long, long time. The first thing that really stuck out to me, though, is that the big difference between last weekend's events and this weekend's events is that now Washington is including the local guys. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe their very, very first press into, like, okay, yes, a lot of those guys have already been on campus. They've already seen things. In the case of guys like EJ Kamenong, you know, he's committed. He's into it. What I'm wondering is we spent a good 10, 15 minutes in the previous segment talking about kind of their plan of Washington's plan of attack in terms of laying the foundation and then really getting these guys all together in May and June during their official visits to make their verbal commitments. And as we talked about, there was, you know, many, many, many days where there was at least one, if not more than one, verbal commitment coming out of those official visits. What I'm wondering is, will they make an extra special push for these local guys just because they know so much about the program already? How much more of a push do you think that these guys really need? Guys like Braden Platt, guys like Rashawn Clark, Kaya McDonald. We talk about Jason Brown, Kyan's teammate at O'Day.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of guys out there. Do you think they would maybe push for the local guys a little harder than they would guys from maybe out of the region?
There's certain guys I could see them making a push on. Braden Platt would definitely be a guy that I think they'd make a push on. But I think they're more than happy to let Jason Brown go do his thing and kind of see what he wants to do. I think Washington really likes some of the other running backs that they're on as well. You obviously want to get the best. You know, he's the top guy, top rated guy in the state of Washington. But is he better than the out of state guys that you could get? So, you know, it's just something you got to. It's, again, this little game of chicken that Washington has to play, you know, and you also have to treat the local kids with love and everything. But, you know, I think that Braden Platt would be a guy. I mean, he's probably at the top of their list, regardless of where he's from, as far as being a middle linebacker. And Washington would take and push for him a little bit. But I think they're more than happy to let most of these guys take their visits, do their thing. We don't want you thinking that you missed out. And then later on in the process, want to go take visits and you've been committed to us for 5 months and we haven't been recruiting guys. So I think they'd rather them wait and not necessarily look what happened with Jackson Jones. I mean, they got a commitment out of him last fall when he was in the middle of his junior season. And then he decommits so that he can go and take visits. Wouldn't you rather have not had him on your commit list at the time and then maybe reel him in a little bit later? So
yeah, and we saw that for the previous class with some of those guys from Vegas, mm-hmm. like Sir Mels, who ended up at Oregon. You know, I mean, early commitments, especially for a team like Washington, can be very, very fleeting. They only have two right now in Kamenong, who we just talked about, and then also one of the other kids from the Vegas area from Liberty High School, which is Troy Fautanu's high school.
And Jeremy Bernard.
Yeah, Landon Bell. Yeah, exactly. Jeremy Bernard's from that high school. But Landon Bell is an athlete who I think is coming in as a receiver.
Yeah.
6'3", 190.
Yeah, so, stud.
You know,
stud.
Yeah, really, at this point, you know, it's very so early in the process for those guys in terms of commitments, not necessarily in terms of the recruitment. Recruitment is going full steam, as we've kind of already spelled out and kind of shown in this podcast. But I was kind of curious if they would take a little different tack with some of the local guys, just because those guys already have their database of knowledge when it comes to understanding what Washington's about with this new staff is so much more advanced than
it was last
some of the guys from outside the footprint.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way of looking at it. But, you know, Chris, I really think that this staff thinks that, you know, they know how they want to put the class together. And I think they have I don't think they're going to push real hard. I think by the end of spring, by the time we get into the last day of spring football, which we don't quite know yet when that is, but it's probably either the last weekend of April or the second to last weekend. It kind of depends on when they decide to start it. But You know, I think by the end of that, you'll probably see they've got two commitments now. I could see five guys by the end of spring football being committed to the University of Washington.
Or and then basically maybe, before official visits really start yes. to take place.
Yeah, because official visits can take place from April to June, but Washington won't do official visits until June.
Yeah, they really like all. To go through their whole evaluation period first before bringing guys yeah. in. It looks
and
like
and the plan typically is to be the last visit if you can be that. Right. And before the dead period. And I think that's what Washington would like to do. I think they want to have more guys on campus for official visits during game weekends.
Sure.
And which is different than a lot of the staffs have done, because the staff doesn't have as much time to spend with the kids when it's a game weekend. Because, you know, I don't know if people know the schedule, but on Friday, the coaches are with the team on Friday night. On Saturday, they're obviously coaching all day. Maybe they get a chance after the game to meet with the players. But if you lose, then it's not as, you know, hyped up and stuff as you want it to be. And then on Sunday, you got the coaches have been up all night doing film study so they can, you know, go through and, you know, doing the cut ups and all that different stuff of where the mistakes that were made and looking at the film and all that different stuff. And then they have meetings with the players and the players get treatment and all that different stuff. And they go through a light walkthrough. And so there's just not as much time with these recruits. So I think they want to get them up on campus for game day experiences, but I think they want the game day experiences before they take an official visit. I think Washington wants to get those last, you know, two or three weekends before signing day. And I think they're hoping that they're playing that first weekend of December, right, for the conference title game.
Yeah. So, no. Yep, that's right.
So, you
know,
that's
on a Friday. That would be on a Friday.
That's on a Friday. So maybe you bring in kids on Saturday after you've either won or lost but I mean, it's a real kind of, it's real nuanced the way these coaches have to figure out the schedule they want to do. They also have to be talking to these kids. Do you want to make your decision before your senior season? Do you want to wait? Are you a guy who says you want to make your decision before your senior season, but then are you a guy who's going to still take visits? You know, there's a lot that goes into it and how they plan this out. But like I was saying, Chris, I think Washington will probably have four or five guys in the boat. That includes Kaminong and Bell. So four or five guys in the boat by the end of spring football. And then by the end of the summer, like I said, they'd like to have 9 to 11 probably, with another 9 spots open for guys who are going to decide late and who are going to be those top guys that they can maybe flip from other schools. Because I remember talking to Brandon Huffman, and he only had when it came to November, he only had like one 4-star guy in the West region that hadn't made a decision yet. And guess who that was? That was Tayshaun Lyons.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we'll be talking about Tayshaun here in a second.
Yeah. But most of those guys are guys who, I mean, most of the big time guys want to commit. So it's a real funky game that the Husky coaches have to play and figure out. What's our best strategy for this?
Absolutely. And then just to add even more to the timing of the
sorry,
end of
I rambled,
the year stuff,
by the way.
But to the end of the year stuff that you just talked about, think about those schools that get invited to early bowl games who are literally in the process in the middle of their week trying to get their team ready for their bowl game and having to go through the mid-year signing period at the same time. I mean, that's absurd.
Oh, it absolutely is. And it's why I think that they're going to eventually take away the December signing period. I really do. I think honestly, it might end up being that first Wednesday of August. If they're going to keep it, they're going to have a first Wednesday of August be the signing day, or they're just going to take the early signing period away completely and only have National Signing Day, the first Wednesday of February, be that signing day.
Okay, so let's go through some other things here real quick before we wrap stuff up. You know, we've talked about this. I call it Junior Day. You call it Husky Experience, or apparently that's what they're calling it now.
Yeah.
Let's give people a real quick rundown of what you expect these prospects to see when they're on campus, what Washington is going to try to highlight, what Courtney Morgan and the coaches and the recruiting staff, What do you think are going to be their points of emphasis for these guys, not just the local guys, but also the out-of-state guys?
Well, when they get on campus, they're going to go right up to the recruiting lounge. That's that big area with the huge windows that's right on the west side of the stadium, right over the stadium. And they'll meet with them there. The kids will get to play games there. You know, there's ping pong tables. There's pool tables. I don't know if there's video games or not, but they've got a lot of different things up there that the recruits can do. And they'll meet with the coaches for a little bit. And then they'll get a tour of the facilities. They might even get to meet with some academic advisors, just talking about how they do things, all the support structure that they have. And then the kids will get a view of what it's like to, go and sit in team meetings, with their coaches. So let's say there's 10 wide receivers on campus. Well, Jamarcus Shepherd will have a team meeting with them. He'll put up film of what Washington does, where he sees different guys. He'll sit down individually with some guys for about 10, 15 minutes and spend time with them and go through different things, show them cut-ups and all that different stuff. And then if they're up with parents, which some will be, they'll get a chance to sit down with Coach DeBoer and talk with him. And then they'll go about their business. And sometimes the Husky coaches will give them some things to see when they're in the city of Seattle. If they're from out of state, they've done a good job of finding out the interests of the kids and the parents and all that different stuff. And so, hey, if you don't like heights, we're not going to send you to the Space Needle, kind of thing. Maybe go down to the Pike Place Market. There's a big thing going on down there. I think it's Local Appreciation Day or something like that. Send them down to the market or they'll say, hey, you can go over and see the Ballard Locks or all the different things that you can do in the city of Seattle that are kind of fun, kind of touristy stuff. And then they'll follow up with them later on because they can still be out on the road next week. They can't. Actually, I'm sorry, that wrapped up this week. That's just kind of what they end up showing them. Some kids will get to see the Arizona game, the basketball game, and see how hyped it gets and stuff like that. But realistically, they just want them to understand the culture that is building at Washington, the family atmosphere that they like to engender. They'll get to meet with some of the players who will answer questions for them and all that different stuff. So a lot of different things go into this stuff.
Now, before we go into some specific players that you guys have some news on, I'm very curious to see, because you've already talked to a number of kids from last weekend. I know you're going to be reaching out to a number of the kids that are going to be here this weekend mm-hmm. to see what it's all about. I'm kind of wondering about your general sense in talking to these guys, how much this last season has played into their interest with Washington. Because I know a lot of Washington fans are coming up to us and asking us and say, hey, they just went 11-2. That must mean the recruits are just going to start rolling on in, right? I mean, because mm-hmm. they played so well, they're probably going to be a top 10 team preseason for 2023. Obviously, everything's rolling on the field. But how is that playing out right now in terms of the actual recruiting process?
It definitely has piqued the interest of, at the very least, wide receivers and quarterbacks. You've got a lot of quarterbacks interested in seeing what Washington's doing. You've got a lot of talented wide receivers. So, I mean, Jamarcus Shepherd, if we were able to sit down and ask him, I bet you he'd say, yeah, this past season made things a lot easier for me on the recruiting trail because there's a lot more kids that are interested in Washington's offense because they can see that they've just had 2,000 yard wide receivers and their quarterback just led the nation in passing. So those have been huge for those guys. I don't know if I think more than anything, especially the out of state guys. And I think that the out-of-state guys are like, 11 wins, huh? They're going to be a top 10 team. Why don't I give them a look? I think this is more of it's piqued their interest and made them decide to come. And then now it's up to Washington to build on that 11 wins. If they get 10, 11, 12 wins next season, possibly win a conference title, that's when you'll start seeing 2025 guys like committing on the, hey, Washington offered me. I'm going to be rolling in that. But think about it, Chris. I mean, I haven't looked at what Georgia's class looks like, but kids aren't just, they're not just taking commitments from 15 kids because they've won two straight national titles. I mean, they want to see these guys in the summer before their senior season. They want to see how they look. They want to see if these guys continue to get better or do they stay the same. Now that Georgia's offered, I'm at the pinnacle of offers from Georgia and Alabama. I've got these offers. Some of these kids don't work hard anymore once they get their offers or make their commitments. So Washington, it isn't like Washington is just going to see a flood of kids, but you're going to see more and more kids being interested in Washington and giving Washington a look. And then it's up to the coaching staff to make them understand this is the place that you want to be because this, we're going to continue building on this. There's no going back for us. We are going to be national title contenders for the time when you're going to be on campus.
Okay, let's finish this up real quick. We've got a couple quick topics to round this out with. First of all is Dylan Johnson, the transfer from Mississippi State running back. You know, if you look at his Twitter account, he's still all about Washington. Washington's in his header, all that stuff. He's using it as his profile picture. Everything looks like it's kind of business as usual, but at the same time, he has looked around. He's gone to other places. What is the latest with Dylan Johnson?
You know, Dylan Johnson, that one's just it's a tough read right now. I think Washington's going to end up with him. I put a little blurb post up there that I had talked to him, and he told me that Washington's coaches and him have been talking back and forth and doing a lot of discussion. Washington's actually in home later today with him. It's the last day that the coaches can be out on the road. So he's going to, you know, he's really going to think about things. He's got a 5-month old and he's and the mother that he's still with, I believe. And they're planning to move wherever he ends up. They're planning to move to at some point in June. So and Washington is definitely the favorite right now. I think a big thing is going to be how this tonight goes and if they're able to lock him in and say, hey, we know we want you. You need to get up here and be part of this. Then, you know, he'll wind up a Husky. I think the odds are very much in Washington's favor right now. A lot of it's going to depend on if someone else comes in with some stupid NIL money. And I just don't see that happening. It would have happened by now if it was going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. And then all of a sudden, the regular signing period day, the first day of it, we're mm-hmm. less than a week away from it. It's amazing how quickly it's all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking mid-December, yep. second, third week in December, you're going through the holidays, Christmas is right there. You're thinking, oh, man, February, it's so far away. We're literally less than a week away right now.
I know. It was funny. I actually thought about that. I was like, holy crap. I've got so much I got to do.
And the funny part about it is as much as schools want to get 95 to 100% of their business done during the mid-year signing period, things with the portal change that. And then obviously there's still that smaller kind of more, I would say elite, but maybe not. But I would say elite kind of crop of high school kids who have waited to take official visits in January, yeah. go through the pros and cons of all this stuff, and then make their final decision. Washington still has some guys out there that they're looking at to finish out their 2023 class. Obviously, the primary one is Tayshaun Lyons, the receiver out of Northern California. You know, what's going to happen come Wednesday morning? Are we going to see a letter of intent from Tayshaun Lyons? Is there going to be other guys? Because now with Sam Heward out in the transfer portal, Washington needs a quarterback. So what should Washington – basically, this is me, a long-winded way of saying, Scott, what should Washington fans be looking for Wednesday morning?
Well, Tayshaun Lyons is the big news. There might be a quarterback that Washington decides to take a flyer on that we don't know about right now. You know, I think Tayshaun Lyons is the big news that we're looking for on Wednesday. And then, you know, maybe Dylan Johnson. But like we've noted before, he's not going to sign anything. So, you know, it's going to just be, you know, does he show up in March? But
well, and to be fair to Dylan, yeah. it's not like he officially decommitted or
nope.
He has gone to other places, and it's clear that he's exploring his options. But again, like I said, if you go back and look on his Twitter account, it's all UW.
Yep.
So it's not like from the public perception, it's not like really anything has changed much with him, even though as you rightly point out, he could end up going somewhere else before spring football.
Yeah. So and it's that's always possible, but I still think Washington ends up with him, but we'll just have to wait and see. But Tayshaun Lyons is really the last big name that needs to sign his letter of intent. He's still committed to Washington, still on the commitment list, just hasn't signed yet. And that's the one we're expecting on Wednesday. But if you guys want to, I mean, we're going to still have the board open, right, Chris? And
yes, we'll put the signing day board up. Yeah.
You and I will still be on. We probably won't be on early, not 5 o'clock like we were in December.
No, because the earliest that Tayshaun Lyons could send in his letter of intent will be 7 o'clock in the morning.
Correct.
Because he's on West Coast time.
That's why, hey, you know, I want UW to get the best guys they can and everything like that. That's important. But that's why if David Jones signs, that could make, you know, commits to Washington, that could make things really early for us on signing day in December. I mean, we might have to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Chris. So,
oh yeah, no, there were, you know, obviously the guys back east, the guys in Texas, you know, we like Curly Reed from Louisiana, you know, those guys,
yeah, they were 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were 5 o'clock. Linnaeus Davis from Minnesota, yep, that 5 o'clock guy. So there's a number of guys that we were having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning for. Thankfully, we won't have to really worry about that unless something odd happens. And again, yeah, I think it ultimately boils down to this quarterback question. Jaden Rashada is out there. Everyone knows his high-profile story with not getting paid at Miami, not getting paid at Florida. He's opened up his recruitment. He got a release to his letter from Florida. He's out there shopping around. I think he's been to maybe he's going to TCU or he's been to TCU. I think Arizona State's in the mix. Cal might be in the mix.
Yeah.
Washington's clearly in the mix because they were one of his top schools before he made his initial verbal commitment to Miami. You know, if I had to put a gun to your head and zero was a 0% chance and 100 is 100% chance that he ends up signing with Washington, what's the number that you're putting on Jaden Rashada right now?
Oh boy. 4
out of 100.
Oh, out of 100. I'm sorry. I was doing out of 10. Sorry. 40.
Okay.
Percent chance. Maybe.
Okay.
I hate it when I do percent.
Cause I actually saw odds. I actually saw odds that saw him at Sal Washington as maybe like the third team in terms of the odds of him going signing with a particular school. I think they were the third option at this point, which I think is fair. I just get the sense that as good as Rashada is, and I think as much as Washington would want to have that guy, I just think there's so many unsettled aspects to what's going on with him in Florida right now that I don't know if that's necessarily scaring teams off, but that could end up being a protracted deal that really ends up being a huge distraction. And I just I just wonder if that is something that's holding teams off from really going gung-ho on him.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people. I've tried to stay out of it, you know, let people vent or have their say on things, you know. And I've seen a lot of people saying that the kid's only out for the money, you know, this is ridiculous and things like that. But think about it. If you're promised $13 million by a school and you sign with them and now they're like, oh, we were just kidding, we don't have that.
Right. Oh, no. It's,
I mean, bait and switch. If you're promised something.
Yeah, it's bait and switch.
Yeah. I do not blame him at all for being upset with them. You know, he had a place at Miami. Florida came in and gave him a better package. And he was like, all right. Yeah, I it's basically in the same area. Obviously not. I mean, it's North Florida or Northern Florida versus South Florida. But, you know, it's the same state. You know, it's a high profile school, all those different things. Why wouldn't I go? Why wouldn't I take an extra? I think it was like $5 million more than what Miami was offering him. Why wouldn't you take that? And he felt like he had a good relationship with him. And then they reneged on it. I don't blame the kid at all for decide. I mean, maybe you could blame him for flipping from Miami to to Florida, but when someone's offering you $5 million more to do the same thing, why wouldn't you take that? Yeah. So, you don't want to play for a meathead like Mario Cristobal, but that's a completely different story. So, I guess I don't have a problem with what he's done considering what happened. But yes, it could be a distraction, Chris. It absolutely could be. And if he's only looking to bring in money, I just don't see Washington bringing in a high school kid and promising him a bunch of, multi-millions of dollars when they're not doing that for guys who are established starters for their own team. Yeah. I just don't see that happening.
I think we can say without complete 100% knowledge of the situation, Michael Penix is not getting that kind of money.
No.
Troy Fautani is not getting that kind of money. Braylon Trice is not getting that kind of money. Jalen McMillan's not getting that kind of money. Rome Odunze is not getting that kind of money. These guys are guys that are all Americans. And if your all Americans aren't making, they're not even making a fraction of that. And all of a sudden people want to believe that a guy like a high school quarterback is going to be guaranteed that much.
Yeah.
Now, his deal at Florida could have been completely incentive laced.
Or backloaded.
Backloaded. It could have been over the entirety of his career. Those types of things make total sense to me. But just this idea that people think that he was going to show up at Gainesville and all of a sudden get a check for $13 million. Yeah, that's not reality. That's nowhere even within the vicinity of reality.
Nope.
The last question that I know is on Washington fans' minds, and then we'll close it up with this one, because I think it's obviously the question now that Sam Heward is in the portal. From 0 to 100, what's the number that you're going to put on Washington signing a quarterback before spring football?
30.
So seriously, I know Austin, we talked about Austin Mack.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the top 2024 high school kid on the board right now from Folsom High School, Jake Browning's high school.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be digging, they could be going in the well to go to Folsom, get that guy. So you think there's a chance they literally could just stick with Michael Penix Jr. and Dylan Morris as your scholarship quarterbacks in April?
I think there's a better chance than better than 50% chance, yes, that they stick with two. And I don't know if that's a by choice or just they haven't found the right guy, to bring in, because they're not going to offer a scholarship to somebody just to have a body. And they've got a couple quarterbacks that they like that are walk-ons. One of them was that Oregon City kid, and
Steeler, but is he, I know he was injured, and I know that, yep, that affected him for most of the season. Will he be 100% healthy? I think is the biggest question.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. If he's 100% healthy, that's a guy we all know that Ryan Grubb is very high on.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he would love to really develop him and get him into the frame a little bit. But is he 100% healthy to do that? That's a huge question.
And that's something we don't know. But, I just think that they're not going to bring in somebody. And there are some other things. The portal is going to open up again in May 1st through the 15th, I think, is what it is. And Washington will have a chance to get in the mix for another quarterback. But the thing that they're looking at is whoever they bring in has to be happy competing for the backup job at the University of Washington. They're not going to be competing with Michael Penix. It's the reason Sam Heward left, because he knew that there was no chance unless Michael Penix got hurt, and no one's wishing that to happen. But unless Michael Penix gets hurt, this is his team. And everybody who comes in knows that. So you're going to have to be willing to battle for the backup job and be ready to go if Michael Penix gets hurt, and then be willing and then battle with Dylan Morris in 2024 for the right to start. And the only guys you're going to get in are going to be underclassmen that are going to be willing to do that. No senior quarterbacks are going to be willing to do that. It's just not going to happen. If a senior gets passed up by a younger guy on his roster and decides to enter the portal, he's looking for a place to go play. He does not want to go to a place that he has to be the backup.
And he was very clear about that.
Yeah, and so well, but that's Sam Heward. But I'm talking any senior who comes in is not going to want to do that either. So unless they are
right, I mean even Patrick O'Brien. Sorry to interrupt, but even Patrick O'Brien, when he came from Colorado State, he did it with the idea of not just competing head to head with Sam Heward and Dylan Morris, but winning that job. Uh-huh. Now he didn't end up winning that job, but you certainly don't go into a new situation like that as a grad guy with the idea that, oh yeah, I'm just going to sit here and just ride it and just go to class.
Yeah.
No, that's obvious.
They're not here to play school.
That's right.
So I think it's going to be, you are really going to have to find the right guy. And I don't mean just a guy who is an underclassman. I don't mean a guy who's experienced. I mean, you're going to have to find the right kind of guy that you think you can work with and is willing to work behind the scenes as a guy. And might even be the third quarterback. He could be behind Dylan Morris if Dylan Morris beats him out. So, and Dylan Morris beat out a five-star guy, another local five-star guy. So it isn't like Dylan Morris is, and he's got starting experience. So it isn't like Dylan Morris isn't a guy who's got a lot of cachet in his own right. He does. So, I just think it's going to be, I will be surprised if it happens. It could happen. I will just be very surprised if there's somebody brought in to be a part of spring football by the time we roll around. March 26th is when spring quarter starts. So
yeah, it's interesting too, Scott, to go with that. I thought there was a potential Camden Sermon might get moved back to quarterback if that eventuality occurred, but instead he's actually moved from running back to receiver now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really interesting move, and we can certainly talk about that down the road. But yeah, I think that'll be the biggest question moving forward, is not just seeing how things fall out or finish out with guys like Dylan Morris and Tayshaun Lyons, with the signing day coming up, but the idea of what are they going to do at quarterback? That's going to be kind of the question that's going to be sitting there above the heads of the staff as they start to move into April, because man, if they only have two scholarship quarterbacks going into spring, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't remember a time where that's been the case. Cause I remember times when you go into spring with guys, with coaches like Steve Sarkisian, where you could have five scholarship quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And it was a free for all. It was an absolute bloodbath. And you're right, because the top of the depth chart is so set with Michael Penix, because he's 100% healthy now. He went through an entire season healthy. Those were huge questions a year ago that we were asking. Because when Penix signed with Washington, the only question had nothing to do with his talent, had nothing to do with his skill, had nothing to do with the relationship that we already knew that he had with Kalen DeBoer. It was all about, can he make it through a season healthy? And he did that. So now basically it's wide open. He went from being a fringe Heisman candidate in 2023 to now being a front runner and a guy that should be in New York, 11 months from now or whenever that happens. So and just wrap it up, some final thoughts if you have any. Otherwise, so much to chew on with this podcast.
Yeah.
I hope UW fans can kind of sort of all this stuff out, because there was certainly a lot to talk about today.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be another, I think it'll be another successful weekend for the Huskies. I think that you'll see them make some headway with some guys, and I'll be touching base with quite a few of them. After they get done, it's probably going to be more like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday when we get a hold of a lot of these kids. But, I think it's another great way for Washington to sell the program. I think you'll see some other guys come in other weekends, but these are the last big ones that you're going to see come in. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of track this and see how many of these guys who took these early visits end up taking official visits and then end up committing to the University of Washington. It's going to be real interesting to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, obviously. And you've already laid out the marker. You think there's going to be roughly five or six guys before the official visits start. So I think, a week or so from now, we're going to have to get back together, Scott. We're going to rehash and recap what happened this weekend and find out kind of how things are going to evolve moving forward, as not just because we're also, you know, bottom line is there's still going to be the signing day that we're going to need to talk about. So even a week from now, there's still going to be a lot of recruiting stuff that we're going to need to digest and talk about moving forward, because it's not going to be just about 2024 now, guys. It's going to still be about how the 2023 class finishes up. There may still be some walk-on guys that are thinking long and hard about maybe coming to Washington. I don't know what Washington's number is going to be in terms of the number of walk-ons that they want to bring in for the 2023 class. We know it's at 6 right now. Maybe it could be even more than that. So there's still so much that we can talk about. So I think in a week or so, we're going to catch up. I'm going to catch up with Scott again, and we're going to hash out all the stuff that's going to happen in this week, because there's going to be a ton more to talk about then.
And maybe Kim will wake up and be able to be with us next time.
Oh, well, Kim had a late night with the basketball game.
Well, so did you.
I know. I had a late night with the basketball game. It's not a big deal. But you know what? When stuff needs to be talked about, Scott, we got to get on the mic. We got to get it out there so that people can hear what's going on, yeah, because there's so much to talk about.
Hey, we wouldn't be Dogman if we weren't busting each other's chops a little bit, right?
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. So for Scott Eklund, recruiting editor of Dogman.com, this is Chris Fetters. Go Dogs.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.